Peace and joy don't often seem to go together. It was brought up again in our skit this morning, our Advent wreath drama, if you will, from the first week when unabashed joy said, "I didn't know joy could be peaceful." But that is what we are here to talk about this morning, is how can the joy that comes from Jesus coming into this world bring us peace? Peace is more than the absence of war or conflict. We might say we are at a peaceful time in our lives if things are going along pretty well and there's not a lot of hubbub and turmoil and chaos in our lives. But that's more of a truce than peace. It's more than the absence of conflict. Peace, especially from the Hebrew word shalom, has a tone of wholeness, of harmony to it, especially in our relationship with God. In the theological word book, it defines peace as saying it has a wide range of meanings. Basically, it includes the idea of wholeness, well-being, prosperity, and security, all associated with God's presence with His people. Reminded of the passage where we are told that the peace of God passes all understanding. It's peace not that comes from the absence of turmoil, but this morning we're thinking about the peace that comes from the presence of God. Specifically, the peace that comes because the angels were able to sing and the shepherds were able to witness the birth of a son, of a baby, a long time ago. Peace is really a word of relationship. It's a word that comes out of our relationship with God. I mean, it's easy to find peace in the absence of chaos, isn't it? It's easy to feel peaceful when things are going along rather smoothly. But Christ brings us peace in the midst of chaos. I think we tend to sterilize the Christmas story sometimes, and we take Silent Night to the extreme, that somehow all of a sudden everything was peaceful, everything was calm, everything was perfect. And we forget about the animals baying and making noises, the stink they had left in the corner of the stable, the baby crying his lungs out. But I think maybe we do that because by doing that we get to a glimpse, to a bit of the truth of what happened when Jesus came into the world. Jesus was born into a town that was full of people. And I think sometimes we think that when we go to bed, the whole world goes to bed. We had the privilege of picking up Kelsey from the Toronto airport. Her plane got in just after midnight, and we didn't leave Toronto. We actually weren't out of the Toronto area until probably after 1 o'clock. And Allison commented she couldn't believe how much traffic was still going on in the city. I think that's probably more likely what happened when Jesus was born that night, that the city was still full of turmoil and hubbub and chaos and people going to and fro and partying and whatever else they might do all night long. But somehow in that stable, the presence of Jesus created a space of peace, created a respite from the turmoil and from the chaos that was happening in the city all around them. There was a presence of peace in that place because of the presence of Jesus. Peace may be more than the absence of war, but peace and fear are related as well. Peace often gets experienced and often gets talked about in Scripture as not being afraid, and not being afraid when maybe you should be. Joseph had a lot of reasons to fear what might happen if he took Mary as his wife. And yet the angel said to Joseph, "Don't be afraid." Mary had lots of reasons to fear at the news she was given that she would give birth to a son before she was even married. And yet, the angel appeared to her and said, "Don't be afraid." The disciples, after Jesus' resurrection, were gathered in an upper room somewhere with a lot to fear, not knowing what was going to happen, either from the hands of the religious leaders or the hands of the Roman government. And yet Jesus appears to him and says, "Don't be afraid, because peace I give to you. My peace. My peace that is different than anything the world has to offer, I offer to you now." Peace in the midst of fear, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of turmoil. That's the kind of peace we're talking about this morning that comes because Jesus came into this world. I don't know if any of you have ever taken time to be outside when it's snowing. I've had the experience over the years many times to hunt when it has been snowing out, sometimes rather hard. I'm amazed at how quiet things seem. Noises that I can usually hear from my tree stand are blocked out or just a faint whisper. Even in the woods, it gets quiet. Animals can sneak up on you and you have no idea they're coming because somehow the snow dampens the noise, dampens the sounds. I imagine the presence of Jesus to be like that snow. The chaos is still out there. The chaos is still happening. Things to be afraid of are still present. But the presence of Jesus is that dampening sound, that dampening effect that blocks out the chaos and the noise and all the distractions, that enables us to find peace in the midst of that. It acts, if you will, as a silencer. I think sometimes, though, when we think of peace, we, as Westerners, tend to individualize everything. We tend to think about how the presence of Jesus can bring peace to me in my life and in my heart. But peace can be more than that. Peace can not only be a reflection of our relationship with God, but peace can be a part of our relationship with others. I've come across some interesting research in the last year and been exposed to it several different times about how it indicates that how we relate to one another can make a difference in the other person, not just in how they feel, but on some kind of physiological level. And there's some evidence that even on a molecular level, how we relate to creation can make a difference. Dr. Masaru Emoto did some research that's been debated and gone back and forth. It's been replicated, and some people say it can't be replicated, where he took bottles of water and marked on them positive thoughts and negative thoughts and neutral thoughts. And he would actually think towards that water, like, "You are beautiful, you are crystal clear, you are wonderful." And to the other bottle of water, he'd think, you're not any good, you're just in a bottle, you can't really help anybody. And when they would quick freeze the water from those different bottles, the bottle that was communicated to in a positive way created crystals that were beautiful and intricate. And the water that was thought of poorly and negatively often created crystals that were misshaped and misformed. Now, I don't know if that's true. I'm not enough of a scientist to get involved in all the back and forth. But it's interesting to think that somehow the way we relate, the way the peace of God in us causes us to relate to others and to relate to creation can make a difference, a real difference in this world. Dr. Angelo Baleo, a neuroscientist who I've had the privilege of hearing speak several times, did an experiment where he stood behind a subject, and they had the subject hook up to an ECG to monitor brave activity and brain waves. And he would think, not say, he would think positive thoughts towards that person or negative thoughts towards that person. They couldn't see his facial expressions. They had no idea when he was thinking or when he wasn't thinking. And that person's brain would respond to the thoughts that he was having towards that person. And even to the point where sometimes it could happen if he wasn't in the room with them. Now that sounds all kind of spooky and ethereal and all kind of wow, that's way beyond my ability to comprehend. But is it? Is it so hard to believe that the way we think about others in the world could have an effect on them? Some of you might say, so what? I think sometimes we forget that we talk about Emmanuel, and Emmanuel means not God with me, but God with us. Somehow the presence of Christ in this world makes a difference in the life of everybody. And so maybe one thing for us to ponder this morning is, how can we, as those who follow the Prince of Peace, make a difference in the lives of others and in this world? How can we bring shalom to the world as Christ brings shalom to our own hearts and lives? I've often wondered how the story of Mary and Joseph might be different if just one of them had refused to heed the angel's words to not be afraid. If one of them had not trusted what the angel told them. If Mary continued to fear what Joseph was going to do to her. Or if Joseph continued to think of Mary as a shameless hussy that somehow had an affair outside of their relationship. How might that whole story have been different? Not just in the outcome, but how might that have changed and affected each of them? Jesus came into this world as a baby, as the Prince of Peace to be received. And so how can we be the presence of that baby in this world? How can we be the presence of peace? How do we share that peaceful joy that is ours because of Jesus? It might be partially in how we act towards one another, but it might also be in how we view the other, in how we think about the other, in how we label or name the other people in our world and in our lives. Maybe the Spirit can use us to bring about a difference in ways we can't possibly understand just when we phrase what we think about and what we call those in our lives. I remember reading a book one time that was written on church leadership, and the title of it was Never Call Them Jerks. I think that goes both ways, pastor to people, people to pastor. But how we name people, how we think about people, not only changes how we relate to them, but it can change how they view themselves and how they function. Kirk Byron Jones writes about how each morning when he gets up, he goes through this ritual of centering himself and of connecting with God. And one of the things he does is he imagines the person in his life that is the most annoying to him in that moment. When he shared this story with me, it was his future son-in-law who was about to whisk his daughter away out of their family and do who knows what with her and take her who knows where. But he would imagine that person standing in front of him, and then he would bow to that person. Bow to that person as a way of recognizing the presence of Christ in them. No matter how annoying that person may have been to him, no matter how afraid he was of what that person may do in his life, he took time to recognize that Christ was present in that person. And he shared about how that changed his interactions and his thoughts towards them. How can we be the presence of Christ? How can we be peaceful joy in the midst of chaos? How can we look at others differently? Our enemies, the world, those who disagree with us, those who seek to be causing us harm and pain. How can we let the peace that we have because of Jesus flow over into our thoughts and into our hearts and outwards into the lives of others? I mean, it might not make any difference at all. Who knows? But it might. And maybe it's worth the chance. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.